कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनी। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यस्टरडे वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट दिस वर्ड्स, सर्वत्र नभिस्नेहम तत्त प्राप्य शुभाशुभम नाभिनंददि न द्वेष्टि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिताम्। सो कृष्ण वाज सेइंग दैट The first thing is sthita prajñatvam, isn't it? Sthita prajña, sthita prajña se ga bhasha. That's what Arjuna asked that question. And we're also discussing that sthita prajñatvam means that one's whose consciousness is completely fixed in the truth. In other words, in the soul. So, sthita prajña se ga bhasha samadhista se keshava. Arjuna was asking that what is the symptom of such a person? How does he speak? How does he deal with this world? These were the questions from Arjuna. So, I will not use another word except this word sthita prajna, because that is the only word which you can think about to express that thoughts behind it. That is, Arjuna is saying that a person whose consciousness is fixed on the truth, on the absolute truth, that is the soul, then how he relates with this world, that's the question, isn't it? And they want to experience that. That's why they ask this question, and they are moving around in this world trying to experience that themselves. And Arjuna has done that, Uddhava has done that, and all the other great acharyas and devotees, they have also done the same thing, trying to experience this sthita prajñatvam. Sthita prajñatvam means that state of consciousness where they are experiencing the truth. So, sthita prajna siga bhasha samadhista sikeshava. So, into that question, first Krishna answered saying that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanyeva almana tushta sthidhe munirichyade. That almanyeva almana tushta, that is the first symptom of such a person, that he is satisfied within himself, that is within the soul, he is situated always within the soul, and is situated in that position and completely satisfied in there. And in the next verse, Krishna said, Dukeshu anudignamana sukeshu vigadaspraha vidaraga bhaya krodham sthidhati munirichyade. Then he has learned to tolerate, to accept the distress and also the happiness that's coming in life on a equal footing. Dukeshu anudignamana sukeshu vigadaspraha. Because he does not get, he does not stick to any happiness that's coming from the senses or from the world. He has also learned, because of that, dukeshu anudignamana. He does not move is not get carried away by the or affected by the distress that's coming from this world. So that is that balanced nature in a person. Dukeshu anidvignamana sukeshu vigadaspraha vida raga bhaya krodha. That there is no attachment, there is no fear, there is no anger, because one follows the other. So he speaks from vidaraga bhaya krodha. Therefore, tasya prajna pradishtida. He is situated in that sthita prajna platform. After that, Krishna is telling us different things what one should take note of in a sthita prajna state. Then the next one is sarvatra anabhisneha tatra prapya shubha shubham. Nabhinandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pradishtida. So then his prajna is situated like this, that he has no specific attachment to anything. Why? Because tatra prapya shubha shubham. When auspicious things happen or inauspicious things happen, he makes sure that he doesn't get attached to it. That sarvatra anabhisneham. He does not praise or curse or condemn anyone in this world. Therefore, what happens to him? That tatat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandadi nadveshti. And because of that, because he does not abhinandana. Abhinandana means to glorify someone or to praise somebody. Nadveshti, that means to hate someone or to condemn someone. He doesn't do that. Therefore, nabhinandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pradeshida. His prajna is properly situated because of that. So far we have seen up to this point. Then after that, we were discussing yesterday that what happens to him, how he comes to this state of nabhinandadi nadveshti. Therefore, he said about the example of the tortoise, isn't it? The example of the tortoise we were talking about before. That so, in the example of the tortoise, Krishna was mentioning there that yada samharade chayam kurmangani va sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pradishtida. That is the next verse. The example of the tortoise. Yada samharade chayam kurmangani va sarvasha. So, you can see there that we talked about the problems we experience while in the process, even one is fixed in spiritual life, still doubts can come. Even while in satsangam. These doubts has to be eradicated. First thing is that doubts are nothing but a disturbance inside. And we should not allow the doubts to grow. And sometimes people will come and create doubts in our mind and go away from them. So it is then that we have this difficulty that our confidence is shaken in what we have to do. So, yogaradova, bhogaradova, whatever one is situated, the Shastram is saying that whether it you are a yogi or a bogi, it doesn't matter. So long as sangaradova, sangavihina, that as soon as there is satsangam, and from that, if you don't have satsangam, yasa brahmani ramade chittam, that yasa brahmani ramade chittam, one whose goal is fixed, that he has to go back to the spiritual world, that is the most important thing in all these things. Other things are not that important. That yasya brahmani ramateya chittam nandani nandani nandateva. That as long as he is sure that what he wants in life, Krishna is saying that makes the big difference. And we also saw the example, what the gopi spoke about that. When in Bhagavadam, in the Gopiya Gita, when it says there, the gopis were attached to Krishna. that is the way it is spoken in the Bhagavatam. But the truth is that gopis were actually attached to self-realization. That's what it means. That in other words, they were unknowingly, they didn't know about it, that the process they were involved was in self-realization. Attachment to Krishna means that. Idraraga vismaranam nranam. They're saying there that that they did not give up their attachment to this world. The attachment had left them. Instead of they giving up their attachment to this world, the world left them. In other words, that's what has happened to them. That's what they're saying in the Gopiya Gita. Idraraga vismaranam nranam. That we did not give up anything, but they all left us one after the other. So similarly, in spiritual life also, as much as we are progressing in spiritual path, the it's not due to our effort that it happens. As we keep on progressing, all other attachments automatically leaves us. We don't have to leave them. They will leave us. All the things what we are attached to, they will leave us one after the other. That is the spiritual process. That we don't artificially try to give up the attachment. Attachment goes away on its own. The objects to which we are attached, they leave us one after the other. Just like darkness, if we want to dissipate, when you bring the lamp inside, the darkness goes away. Similarly, when the lamp inside, the soul which is inside, which is shining there, when we become more conscious of that presence of the soul inside, automatically attachment to the body goes away. That is the only way it can happen. Keep constantly thinking that I'm not this body won't help. The way to think about that is get attached to the soul inside. Just like we got attached to the body, we have to get attached to the soul inside. And as much as that attachment to the soul gets stronger, the attachment to the body will automatically go. So, this is called Shraddha. Even though we have a very long history of ignorance, jnanam, inside, as soon as there is experience of the soul, that jnanam will leave. That even if it has developed over many lifetimes, that ignorance can go as soon as the knowledge of the soul develops inside. And that can only happen through Shraddha or turning your attention inwards. And once we turn our attention inside and we start inquiring these questions, what am I doing here? Why have I come here? Who am I? All these questions, why I'm living here? Where is this journey going to end? And in between, we have developed all connections in this world with different living entities in some form or the other. Family life and all other sorts of things, society life, such things. But then, so long as we don't realize our own identity, and when you start realizing that, automatically, that we start thinking that we are not this body, on the other hand, we are a spiritual entity, a soul. And the external body is only an external sheet that is centered around us. And this understanding that I am something, I am not this body, this will start growing inside, and that is the source of happiness also. When we start becoming more and more conscious of our identity with the soul, it also becomes a source of happiness. And constantly to take our attention to the heart or to attention to the center, it is very important to have that center. When we are always thinking that I am something different than the body, eventually our attention will go and fall on that. Because all this analysis in Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and everything is only teaching us one thing, that by logics and reasoning and also by the realizations of the sages, they are emphatically, they are very categorically telling us that we are something different than the body. We are something different than the body. And the place to search for that entity is inside, not outside. So once we have molded our thoughts in that way, through the way the Upanishads have shown us the path, Bhagavad Gita has shown us the path, Bhagavatam has shown us the path, If we mold our thoughts in that direction, automatically our connection with the soul gets strengthened and connection with the body gets loosened. And as much as we are talking about it, we are hearing about it, we are reflecting on this and thinking about all these things, what will happen is that our attention will become very fixed up there, very fixed up in that position. As I mentioned before, there are two things inside. One is our real identity as Atma, the soul. The other one is the false ego inside on which we are operating in this world. Through the false ego platform, we are dealing with the world. Our real identity is the spirit soul inside, which has nothing to do with any of these things. So more and more we become conscious of these things, we will become aware and our attention to ahankaram or false ego will go away and attention to the soul will get more energized, or in other words, it will become more strengthened. And once it gets strengthened, what will happen is, as and when most of the time, many of the realized souls are like that. Most of the time, their attention is on the soul. They have no time to think in terms of the false ego and false ego's activities. That is why they find that very difficult when their attention has gone on to the soul, then they do not want to deal with a world which is full of false ego. So therefore, practical state, in the early days, we can even see that as and when some disturbance comes inside or a distress happens in life, immediately we will shift, we will move, go towards the soul, not to the false ego. We'll go towards the soul. So that center should become very strong inside. That center of the soul, of the heart, the presence of the soul inside, that should be constantly be meditated upon. In other words, that is what we are talking about. That is Krishna's part and parcel. Krishna is sitting there as the soul. And that praying to Krishna means talking to this Antaryami inside. That is praying to Krishna. That is talking to Antaryami. He is the best person to talk to. Many, many devotees, they talk to Krishna. To whom do they talk to? They talk to Antaryami inside. They talk to the Antaryami inside. So even if there is disturbances outside, immediately our attention should go to that place. Our attention should go to that place. Because as soon as your attention goes there, the disturbance is over. The distress is gone. You can see that most of the disturbances what we experience in this world is because of our attention is on the false ego. Once we realize that we are not that false ego which we are operating with in this world, most of these disturbances move away and we go back to our shelter, which is the center of the soul. So in the Lalita Sahasranamam, the thousand names of Lalita Devi, Shri Parvati's another name is also Lalita. It's a famous prayers there for Shri Parvati in the name of this Lalita Sahasranam. There it says, Andarmukha Samaradhya Bahirmukha Sudurlabha. In other words, Andarmukha Samaradhya. We can experience that knowledge inside, one who has turned inwards. One who is externally looking, Bahirmukha Sudurlabha. For him, it's very difficult to get that realization. It is not possible, it says. Andarmukha samaradhya, bahirmukha sudurlabha. Very, very difficult for a person who is looking outwardly. One who is looking inwards, he finds it easily. That's what it says there. So, this turning our attention inwards is important. Turning attention inwards is important in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Everything is actually centered, geared around that, to get this attention inwards. The senses are used to going externally. The mind is used to going externally. And the external world is drawing our attention all the time. Never in our life we develop the habit of looking inwards. So, there's an interesting story about that, that there was one person, he used to live in a small room in one of the temples. In one room he lived there, alone he lived there. And he never used to talk to many people, very quiet and withdrawn himself from the world, but very reflective in nature, always very thoughtful and analytical in his own mind. He used to think about things properly and deliberately kept away from the world outside. But in that village where this temple was there, there used to be many people, many scholars and many learned people who lived in that area, and they used to come and discuss Shastram and talk about traveling on pilgrimage and various kinds of things they used to discuss. So this person, he used to go there, sit there and listen to their discussions. Listen to their discussions. So when he heard from them, majority of their discussions were centered around the world, outside world, in correcting the outside world. In correcting the outside world. So Dharma Shastram is there, all the Smritis are there, Puranas are there, and the discussions were centered around how to improve the worldly situation. Improve the worldly situation. It happens to many, many people in the same way, that they get so absorbed in changing the conditions of this world. So this person, who was a little different, who used to be very conscious of the, who has cultivated this inward-looking nature very strongly, he disagreed with all of them, their way of doing things. Rather than developing this thoughtful nature inside, he, although listened to their discussions, never got involved in them. Never got involved in them. Because he felt that this way, as soon as you try to adjust with the world, majority of the things don't take you to the spiritual realization, to the truth. So once it so happened that he was walking on a street and he stopped somewhere and started searching in the ground, as though he has lost something. So somebody who was coming that way, it's a small village, only the village people walk around in that area. Somebody who was coming in that way asked this person, "What are you searching for?" He said, "I had one golden needle with me. I've lost it and I'm looking for that," he said. "Oh," he said, "all right." So that person went away. Another person came, the same village people, asked him, "What are you searching?" He says, "I had one golden needle, I've lost it and I'm searching." So this person asked him, "Where did you lose it?" He said, "I've lost it in my room, but I'm searching it here," he says. So he says, "You must be stupid, because you lost it in the room, and if you search for it here, how will you get it?" So this person says to him, "There is no light there. The light is here, so I'm searching here." So then again, that person said that if there is no light, what you should do, you should take the light there and have a look at it there, instead of searching here. How will you find it here? If you have lost it in the room, how are you going to find it here? So this person told him, "This is exactly what I am also trying to tell you. That you people are making all these meetings, big meetings, discussions, everything. You have already lost peace of mind inside. That's why you are so busy with this world. You have never developed that the thing what you are looking for is not in the world outside. It is inside. And your search is going on with all your discussions or Shastram, this, that and the other. Everything related to the world outside. So I am also telling you the same thing. That if I want to find this needle, I know I have to take the light inside the room and search there where I have lost it. But I have to take the light there and look at it. Then I'll find it. Similarly, you also, if you want to find the truth, if you are looking for the truth, you have to take the torchlight of this knowledge and go inwards and look there where you have lost it. So we all have lost it there. Remember in Bhagavatam also we were discussing this last Sunday. Andaryami's role is very powerful. That the soul who is inside, in all of us, every living entity, that is where Krishna's presence is felt and realized maximum. Everywhere else comes later. So that search, that inquiry inside must go on. And that is the inward-looking nature. So Krishna is now going to talk about various verses, one after the other, all directed towards this shifting this inquiry to inwards rather than outwardly. And that is why in this Yadasamyarade Chayam, Kurmanganiva Sarvasham, Kurmanganiva Sarvasham. Indriyan Indriyarthebhyo, Tasya Prajna Pradishthita. That verse is a pure reflection of this thing. That Kurmam or Toto is, what it does is, the first step in this process is that Indriyan Indriyarthebhya. Indriya means senses. Indriyartha means the sense objects. One who has pulled the indriyam or senses from sense objects and pulled inwards and trained the senses to go inwards instead of going outwards. Indriyan Indriyarthebhya Tasya Prajna Pradishthita. His prajna or his consciousness is properly in steady state or in the sthita prajnatvam state it will reach. So in other words, indriyam and indriyarthebhya, indriyam senses and the sense objects, that connection must be broken. That connection must be broken. And senses should start moving inwards. So it's only for this purpose that all sadhanas are mentioned in the Shastram. All kinds of sadhanas are mentioned in the Shastram. Somehow or the other, pull the senses from the sense objects and establish them in the mind. Not allow the senses to go. If the mind controls the senses, then it will not go like that. If it is kept with the mind. Whereas if we let the senses go to sense objects, then mind will follow that. And the result that we have to accept the consequences. So that is what the first thing. And the mind has to be controlled by the intelligence. And intelligence has to become steady. That's how the prajna becomes steady. And the easiest process for doing this is chanting the holy name. The easiest process for this to happen is to chant the holy name. So this mind, which is normally very oscillating, always shaken and moving all the time, that mind, if we keep on chanting the holy name, what happens normally is, even though originally we start with our lips, loudly we chant the holy name, but in due course of time, the mind will lose its interest in other things. And as soon as our chanting process becomes stronger, the mind will eventually capture this chanting, what we do. Mind will capture the chanting, what we do. So when we chant the holy name, this is what actually happens. All of you have the experience also. But still I am saying this in order to make us conscious of when we do the chanting. What we are chanting, when we are chanting the holy name, basically what's happening is, originally we chant loudly, chanting the holy name. It has to be chanted loudly in the beginning. For many, many years, we should chant the holy name loudly. But afterwards, when it has become developed into a habit, automatically the different kinds of thoughts, the thought flow will come down. The power of thoughts that's coming through the mind will subside. And at least at that point, the mind will capture the chanting. The mind will take over then. So the mind's nature is such that it needs thoughts inside. And that thoughts will move away and it will take over to the chanting process. And then it starts chanting inside the mind. So in different stages in chanting, all these things do happen. So these are things one has to experience oneself. There's nothing one can test it or practice or somebody else can recommend on that. Mind has a natural tendency to capture this chanting and at that time let the mind chant on its own. And this is the only way one can control this process of senses going away. Senses going away. You have to remember, the mind, what we have, is much more older than the body. Isn't it? Body is only, say, 50 years, 60 years old. But the mind has got so many lifetimes behind it. That is the mind. The mind is much more older than the body. Mind is much more older than the body. It is very, very old. Therefore, very much like a tablet, you have to put this holy name inside. Like a tablet, we have to put it in. And this tablet, when it goes inside, the mind get used to this tablet and eventually mind will take over. Once the mind takes over the chanting, then it becomes a lot easier. So once we start develop this habit of chanting the holy name without getting involved in others' affair, Krishna says that it will bring that steady state easily inside the inside our attention will become very quickly focused on the soul. That's Krishna's point. That therefore, this is actually an introduction to the next verse. All these things what is spoken here. Sometimes two people are sitting there. A third person comes. So two people are talking to each other and they're talking very quietly something. So the third person comes and asks him, "What have you been talking about?" So the two persons are saying, "If it was something you have to know, we would have told you." They will answer like this sometimes, isn't it? So this is all created by the mind. Strictly speaking, there is no third thing. There is no second thing. There is only the soul that exists. That's what Krishna was saying yesterday. We were reading from Bhagavatam. Ekadasi Skandam was saying this. That all these are activities of the mind. It is a mind which does all these things. What the mind does is, everything that is against us is working on it all the time inside to create as much disturbance as possible and to create as much block as possible in realizing the truth. That is what the mind is doing. Mind is doing that. And you can look at our own taste sometimes. When you sit here and hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, there is some peace coming from there, isn't it? When we experience the soul and we discuss about the soul, there is shanti inside. When we go away from here, and then sometimes when we read something, some books, or watch some film or anything some related to, say, crime or thriller or fiction or detective stories and things like that, mind shows a lot of interest in that. Here, mind has no interest. Here, we have to keep the mind under check. Mind, we have to restrict the mind. But such topics, when it comes, mind takes a lot of interest. All these kind of things. You can notice this all in people's life. When you go to the airport, after you are checked in and you wait for the flight, W.H. Smith and all these places, they will present in the front of the shops all the books related to fiction, crime, love stories, thrillers and things like that. And people are buying this to read in the flight. Because why is it like that? Because that is how they feed the mind with this kind of understanding. And this is a big problem. And naturally, all these disturbances, already disturbed mind inside, is fed with more disturbances from these novels and literature like that. So it will not. That is what the mind is looking for. Mind wants that. This kind of taste. It has developed that taste. And therefore another name of the mind is negativity. This negativity it creates inside. That its interest is everything that is opposite. If you try to give something good to the mind, it will not have any taste for it. Only thing that it tastes is all these negative things, whichever causes damage to you. That's what the mind shows interest inside. So, in the Yoga Vasishtham, Vasishtha Maharshi says about this, the first thing to do is, this taste for opposite things, one has to break. The taste for opposite things has to break. Shubha shubhabhyam margabhyam vahandi jivani sarit paurushena prayatnena yojaniya shubhe pathi. This is the statement in the Vasishtham. Then, Shubhashubhabhyam Margabhyam. Shubhashubhabhyam Margabhyam means there is auspicious path and inauspicious path. Auspicious and inauspicious path. Vahandi Jivani Sarit. That Jiva has got this opportunity to travel through either of these ways. Paurushena Prayatnena. One should use one's own effort, intelligence and effort. Yojaniya Shubhe Padi. He should learn to go in the right direction. Then, so, it can go through the auspicious path, it can go through the inauspicious path also. But depending on our Ichashakti means our strength of our desire. Ichashakti is desire actually. So if we develop that desire, strength of desire inside, and we have to direct this mind in the auspicious way. And the easiest process to do that is to be in satsangam. Satsangam is the place where you will get this opportunity, the maximum opportunity. On your own, it is difficult to do it. It is very difficult. When some person is, one is on his own, naturally the attention will go to television and other movies and other things, what feeds the mind, pleases the mind. That's what we will look for, isn't it? So the nature of the mind is always to take us into the wrong direction. So Vasishtha Maharshi is saying to Ramachandra, in the Yoga system, the statement is that Shubham, Ashubham, both paths are there, but somehow or the other, forcefully, one should develop this taste to go in the auspicious route, to the auspicious path. Srimal Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these things are meant for taking us in the auspicious direction. Then, if we train up the mind in that way, that it does not go in the inauspicious way. Always it develops this taste for the auspicious things, particularly by studying, reading and thinking about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Always in satsangam, spending time in satsangam, chanting the holy name. In this way, if we do not allow any time for the mind to taste anything negative, to taste any, that's our duty, that we have to do. Nobody else is going to do it that for us. If we do that, in course of time, it says what will happen is that yogasya pradamadvaram vang nirodha aparigraha nirashaja nirihaja nityamekanda shilinam. This is the way to become the inward-looking nature develops in this way. Otherwise, inward-looking will never happen. If all the time, if you have allowed the mind to go out in the world to enjoy and to get absorbed, then this inward looking will never happen. When does inward looking happen? When we chant the holy name. By chanting, what happens is, in course of loudly, we have to chant first. And when we start chanting, after a while, chittavritti will stop. When chittavritti comes to the minimum, the mind will capture the chanting, and the chanting will continue inside, in our own mind, the chanting will continue in due course of time. When that happens, and you don't allow the mind anymore to go outwardly by being in the association of devotees or in satsangam, constantly hearing about this truth, about the soul, about the soul's activity and importance of spiritual realization, if these topics are constantly heard and reflected, and plus hearing about this from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which only talks about this topic, nothing else. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam doesn't talk about anything else except self-realization. So, due to the help of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, satsangam, chanting the holy name, in all these things, eventually what will happen is, Krishna is saying that the attention in the world outside will go, and your Shraddha will fall on the soul. Shraddha will fall on the soul. That is what it is mentioned here. Yogasya pranamadvaram. The immediate result of all these things is a desire will build up inside to become silent. To become silent. Not only in silent, also likes to be aloof from the world outside. A kind of detachment, distraction, a kind of indifference will develop inside towards the world. towards the world outside. We can't enjoy in this world our senses to the maximum. And if we have only a certain limited energy in us, that energy, you can use it for whichever purpose we want to. When we talk about this energy, talking about the Ichha Shakti, our capacity to do things, or capacity to give our attention to something, is limited. So normally that attention, the capacity is spent in the world outside. So Shastram is saying, Krishna is saying here, Yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhyo tasya prajna pradishthita. When the attention we take away from the world, and if we bring it inwards, the spiritual life will grow. The spiritual life will start properly. So, when that happens, the symptoms Krishna is discussing here, that when the attention moves towards the soul, automatically, it says here, yogasya pradamadhvaram vang nirodha parigraha. A tendency for silence will develop inside. Vang nirodham. To talk unnecessary, that will go away. Unnecessary talk will stop. Aparigraham. And also, we'll learn how not to get attached to objects. These things will happen in a subtle level inside. You can notice these things also. People who have lived a spiritual life for a very long period of time, and there, as they make progress, you will notice these things happening in them. Their behavior will clearly indicate to you that yogasya pradamadvaram. The first thing, step they develop is this, that vang nirodham abharigraham. Silence and freedom from this possessiveness of thing. Nirashaja nirihaja nityam ekanda shilina. And in that process, what will happen is they will like more and more seclusion and loneliness and silence. These things, they will start liking it more than disliking it. We all dislike silence. We want a lot of noise around all the time. We also want association, isn't it? All the time around, people around us. So that's why we go for all the parties. What else is there in the party? And we are waiting for an opportunity to create one party, isn't it? New Year party, Christmas party, this party, that party, birthday party. All this party is nothing but where you get an opportunity. This is not a spiritually enlivening process. It's actually only takes our attention away from inside. So those who are trying to advance on the spiritual path, he on the other shuns this association, that kind of association, where our attention is, the senses are going external. On the other hand, Krishna is saying here, one who wants to advance in yoga path or yogam, to take progress in the yoga path, he has to become like the tortoise, learn to withdraw. You can't go for a party and then withdraw all the senses inwards, is it? That's not possible. Once you go for the party, then you have to play with the party. You go with the party. You will meet so many people. They will bring a lot of their problems to you. And they will also tell you what's going on in this world. And then discussion will carry on like that. That will keep yourself busy. And then it won't leave there. When you come home after the party, you'll discuss the party. What all happened in the party. And all the topics that were discussed in the party. This way life will go on. Krishna is saying here that yada samharadi chayam kurmanganiva sarvasham, that if you want to free yourself from all these kind of things and shift your attention towards the soul, then indriyan indriyarthebhya, don't allow the senses to go after sense object, then tasya prajna pratishthita, his prajna will be properly situated. So you can see in practical life also sometimes it happens to us, isn't it? That we see that silence is a great help. Silence is a great help. Sometimes we say some things without thinking enough, or it comes out from the lips and then it causes a lot of problems to us. It causes a lot of problems to us. So at that time we think, I wish I was silent, I didn't say anything about it. We think like that, isn't it? Because people have different understanding of things. They have different understanding. And especially when you have to deal with organization, and there are many people involved in the organization, different people think in different ways. That also you can experience. At one time, what we have experienced and what we have understood is not anymore the same. It is different understanding now and different experience also from the people. In such situations, the best thing is to be silent about it, not to get drawn into it. Because Krishna is saying here that Indriyan Indriyarthebhyo, if we try to develop this understanding, what Krishna, our goal is spiritual realization. Our goal is not correcting this, changing this world. Our goal is spiritual realization. We want to realize the truth because this human body has been given to us for that purpose. And to not to come back, escape from here once for all. Not to come here and go through these dualities of life and to suffer through this world again and again. That is not our purpose of being in spiritual life. Spiritual life is to finish up this cycle of birth and death, material existence, once for all, and get back to our proper identity as the soul. So, therefore, we have to accept what Krishna is telling us to do. We have no choice in this. Krishna, because he is the absolute, Krishna is the absolute truth, and he is the goal, he is telling us that this is the way you have to come back to me. He told Arjuna what he has to do. He told Uddhava what he has to do. And he is telling us also, through Arjuna and Uddhava, what we have to do. So if we don't follow that, and if we get driven by the society, and also by the community, and all other people, our spiritual goal will never happen. It's not going to happen. It will go away. So first and foremost thing in life is to keep focused on our interest or spiritual realization. Everything else is secondary. And that is not being selfish. That nothing to do with selfishness. This is what is expected of us from Krishna's side. Krishna expects us to do this. And instead of doing that, we concoct our own ideas of serving society, serving community, serving this, serving that. In that process, the whole purpose is defeated. We lose our goal. That's what will happen. So, in these verses, when we read through, we may have to always be stressing this one point. Tasya prajna pradishthita. How will I get there to that state of realization? Tasya prajna pradishthita. Indriyan indriyarthebhyo. Krishna says, first thing is, withdraw the senses from the sense objects. And that is not to be done in an artificial way by shifting our attention from the body to the soul and constantly through the process of chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and being in the association of satsangam, always in satsangam. Satsangam is the most powerful thing of all the three. There is no doubt about that. That's why Krishna says to Uddhava the same thing. Narodhetimam yogo na sangyam na Uddhava. He said that in the 12th chapter, isn't it? In the 11th canto. So, here, you will notice that the silence is a great virtue. Great virtue at that time. Otherwise, we will talk about, sometimes what happens is, we may talk about other people whom we do not even know. And that can end up in, and Krishna is saying there, if we talk about others, what will happen is, you will get word used is vyabhijaram. Vyabhijaram means prostitution. Prostitution means, what does prostitution means here? Prostitution means here is shifting from the truth. Moving away from the truth. Truth, as far as Krishna is concerned, only is the soul. Nothing else is truth. That is why we mentioned this yesterday also. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsa na garhayed. Vishwamegalmagam pashyan pragritya purushenacha. Parasvabhava karmani. Other people's svabhavam and their karmam. Na prashamsa na garhayed. It should not be glorified nor it should be condemned under any circumstances. Why? Vishwam egalmagam pashyan. This whole creation, there is only one thing. That is the soul. And pragritya purushenacha. We are experiencing this in this world in the form of pragriti and purusha. Material nature and the presence of the soul is felt here in that way. So, Krishna is saying there, parasubhava karmani na prashamsa na garhayed. We don't have to go into this material nature and start analyzing it and coming into forming ragam and dvesham. Once we do this, what will happen is ragadvesham will develop inside. So, parasubhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet, Krishna says. Why? Vishwam egalmagam pashyan. Egalmagam. There's only one thing in this whole thing, whole creation. That is the soul, that egalmagam. That egalmagam is what we are after. Prakritya purushenacha. What we are experiencing is as prakriti and purusha is nothing but that one thing, what Krishna is talking about. Then, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Whoever is going to do that, one who is going to do such a thing, what is that? To talk about others and to talk about their activities, they glorify them and condemn them or criticize them in any way, what will happen to them is, sa ashu breshyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshata. All words are very, very strong. Krishna is using there. Sa ashu breshyade. What will happen? He will immediately fall from there. What? Swartha, sa ashu breshyade swarthal. Asatyam abhiniveshata. Asatyam abhiniveshata. He has fallen into the whirlpool of falsity or illusion. Krishna is saying, asatyam abhiniveshata. Asatyam, it is falsity that he is now chasing. He has lost his connection with the truth. So in spiritual life, when we are taking our attention from the body and external world and shifting it towards inside, towards the soul and for spiritual realization, because we have heard from Shastram that the truth is only the soul and Krishna is present in every one of us as the soul sitting inside, and shifting our attention from the world outside, from the body outside, towards the soul is the only, this what is called spiritual life is all about. And while doing that process, these are pitfalls, what Krishna is talking about. Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. E asu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshata. Krishna says, asatyam abhiniveshata. So one has to safeguard this one particular thing, what Krishna has spoken here in the Ekadasha Skandam. Sometimes, without being conscious of all these things, we may talk about others, isn't it? It can happen all the time. The problem is, Krishna is saying, whether you say good thing about someone or a bad thing about someone, both causes disturbances inside. How? If you say, glorify someone very much, a lot, envy will build up inside. Oh, he is doing much better than me. This will become a thought inside. This kind of thought will develop inside. And that turns into envy. That turns into envy. And if you condemn constantly somebody, constantly talk about someone and criticize and condemn him all the time, what will happen? Dvesham will develop. Hate towards that person will develop. Both are, Krishna says, is vibhijaram. Vibhijaram means it's a prostitution or from the truth. Or in other words, falling away from the truth. Now, Krishna will also say this, and Krishna said this to Uddhava. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, like Krishna will say in the 6th chapter, when he talks to Arjuna, he says there, Grihnan, Unmishan, Pralaban, Shosan, lot of things, how a realized soul will deal with this world. He mentions that there. But what we are discussing now is the first step in the yoga process. First step in the yoga process, sadhana. First sadhana in the yoga process. So the other things, when in the realized state, when one does is different. In the realized state, if somebody does some things, it will not affect him. But in the sadhana stage, if one does these things, it will affect him. So we should not think, okay, Srila Prabhupada has done so many things in this world, isn't it? You may think, oh, Prabhupada was criticizing people, so I can also go on criticizing everybody. No, in the realized state, it won't affect them. But in the not a realized state, when we are in the sadhana stage, we will be affected by that. So there is a difference there, what we have to take note of. The easiest process is to bring it under control. The mind is the whole problem, isn't it? As we discussed before. So there are so many processes spoken how to keep this mind under control. One of that process is to go into silence, constantly practicing silence as much as possible. That some people, many people, because particularly those who are constantly traveling and speaking, you know, those spiritually advanced people who are traveling and speaking, if you very closely observe their life, you will see that they will always provide a small gap between their programs. The reason is that they like to be silent at that time. After speaking so much, they also need that silence inside to go back inwards. That is how they shift their attention from because constantly speaking is also not very easy process. It always causes a lot of disturbances inside. So in order to bring that peace inside, they have to withdraw from the world. And through that is the easiest way is the silence. They either go to some holy places or places where aloof from everything and keep to themselves performing their sadhana, and they go back to their sadhana to take the shelter from the knocks outside. So the mind will come under control if we practice silence. Secondly, not allowing the senses to go externally and to enjoy. For example, as you know very well, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken this, that the mind, from food comes the mind, isn't it? Food is the cause of the mind, grows. Mind gets its growth from the food. So if we control the habits of our eating habits, that will help the mind to become peaceful. Eating habits will help the mind to become peaceful. Similarly, the you have seen this, everybody has seen this, isn't it? The three monkeys sitting with two hands, one closing two eyes, and then the whole two ears, and then both hands on the mouth closing. Okay, two hands has got two eyes, that's fine. Two hands for the two ears as well. Why two hands for the mouth? Because this mouth does two things. One eating and one talking. That's why you used to use two hands to cover it up, the mouth. This is, you have seen everywhere they exhibit this, isn't it? The three monkeys sitting together like that. So, so these two things, controlling the food and controlling the talking, these both activities is required. Then, and in addition to that, when the spiritually our spiritual that silence that comes in, we should not allow that silence to get disturbed by anything, because only in silence, our shraddha gets stronger with the soul. Our shraddha of the soul gets very strong. And it is that strength that we are looking for to coming from the soul, which should come to our help even when there is some disturbances from the external world. So one after the other, all the senses has to be closed. All the senses has to be closed. The eyes have to be closed. The ears have to be closed. The mouth has to be closed. And in all these situations, even if there is disturbances in the world, it will not affect us. It will not affect us. And spiritual life to progress, whatever that disturbances that's come, particularly this thing called television, it is acting on us very strongly through these two mediums, isn't it? Both through the eye and through the ears. Therefore, many people call it as Mahishasura. It's a kind of asura inside home. We have installed him. We not installed the deity. We have installed this asura inside. And we spend more time with the asura than the deities at home. Asura is more closer to us. So our deity worship is all centered around this demon in the house. So he also takes a lot of our sense. Don't allow the senses to go inward looking. Rather, it takes external. External looking, it goes in that way. So, by doing all these things, what Krishna is saying here is that this is known as tapasya. isn't it? And if we don't do all these things, say we don't do all these things, we don't have any sadhana, no chanting the holy name, no deity worship, no meditations, no reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. But if we simply go to university and sit there with the professors and study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in their presence, you will never have self-realization. You can write your thesis, you can write your, what they call, dissertations, what do they call, isn't it? And theory, PhD, you can get all that, but you will not have the knowledge of the self. That's what will happen. This is a simple reason that this topic should not be studied in the university. It's not meant for university. University, you can study all other topics, like the chemistry, physics, all related to matter. You can discuss it there. Spiritual topics, particularly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Unfortunately, what's happening is, a lot of our own people have gone to universities. After they have joined the movement and spent many years performing sadhana, they have gone back to university, thinking that university they should study to understand this better. After going there, they got the association of all these persons who are in the university. Because university, if you look at university, strictly speaking, they run courses for you, isn't it? The government provides the finance, or some private individuals supply the money for the research work and collect, you know, assembly place for, they provide for that, and the library facilities and all the other techniques associated with that. These people who have started spiritual life with chanting the holy name, practicing austerities and penances, plenty of their time, 8 to 10 hours in a day, they go and spend in the association of these people. And all what they are doing there is, they will take each and every literature from the Vedic tradition or any other tradition, and all the books that has been written by different people, they'll start comparing. And they'll start writing articles about it. This person has said like this in this article, that person has said like that in the other article. And they'll bring it together and they'll bring some opinion of their own. This is not spiritual life. This is completely mundane. Spiritual life is this. What Krishna is saying here is, tapas is first thing necessary. Tapas means this control of the senses, mind, everything. And the process what Krishna has spoken. So, and for that, Krishna is saying, first thing required is that he told step by step how to go, isn't it? So here now Krishna is, Yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhyo tasya prajna pradishthida. Then, indriyam withdrawing from sense objects, senses freeing from sense objects is an important step in that. If that's not done, Krishna is saying that the soul inside will not be taken note of. You will not take note of that. Why are we doing all these things? So that our attention at the moment, which is completely in the world outside and in the body, somehow or the other moves away from there towards the soul. That's the goal, isn't it? And Krishna says, if you have to, in order to do that, to shift that attention from the world and the body to the soul, what is required is that this indriyam or senses which takes you to the world, takes you to the body, has to go inwardly looking. So that's why Krishna says there, indriyani indriyarthebhya, that indriyam has to come out of the sense object. Senses has to come back from the sense object. Tasya prajna pradishthida. His prajna will be properly situated, pradishthida. So we don't know what else can we do. This is the process. That's what Krishna is asking us to do. And our duty is to truthfully follow what Krishna has told us to do. And in that process, Krishna says, if one is genuinely doing this, following this process, the success will come to him eventually. It is not going to go away. Therefore, it is very silly that we have to discuss such topics in the university and our own people are going and getting victimized by that, thinking that is going to develop spiritual knowledge. They are thinking it is some knowledge that they have to acquire there, which is not already there in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It is it's just like choosing the wrong guru, isn't it? If you select the wrong gurus, what will happen? You will follow that guru in that way. So more or less, that's what has happened to many, many devotees also. This has happened. They have forgotten that this Atma Vidya, or the science of the soul, is a very confidential thing. What Krishna is saying again and again, it's very confidential. It's not understood by anyone who has no sense control, who hasn't practicing it, who is not practicing it. That's why all the great acharyas, they taught us by example. They practiced it themselves. All the great acharyas, if you look, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnuswami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the acharyas, they practice it themselves. They just don't give classes and lectures and go away and do what they want. No, their own life is example all the time. Their own life is an example to us. That never in their life they deviated from the message, what they have taken from the Shastram. So their strict adherence to the Shastram and executing it truthfully, that is what they have made them as Acharyas. That's how they became Acharya. Otherwise, they would have been in a different state. So, the mind, intelligence and senses, when these things are practiced, it receives a certain kind of peacefulness inside. Then only then, if all these things are mind, intelligence and senses, if they are brought in an order, under a certain order, only then one can go inwards. So, in order to do that, every senses has to become a little purified. Purification is necessary. So, therefore, for example, that purification is a process what we do, like we said, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, Ambarisha Maharaj practiced Ekadashi Vratam. And at that time he says, Savai Manakrishna Padaravindayor Vajamsi Vaikunda Gunanu Varnane Karohareer Mandira Marjanadisho Shudim Sakarachuda Satkadothaye. There is three or four verses in the ninth canto. Ambarish Maharaj is talking about it. He says there that the Savai Manakrishna Padaravindayor, let the mind does not wander around elsewhere, let it be always focused on Krishna, the soul. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane, if there is anything to be spoken about, let it be something related to the soul. Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Karau, and if physically, if I have to do engage in any activity, Karau Harer Mandira Marjana Adrisho, let that be in cleaning up the temple, for Krishna's temple, in that way. So, Pado Harakshetra Padanu Sarpane, if I have to walk, let that be walking towards the temple, the soul, inside, to the, who is present inside, as the deity form. We worship Krishna like that. So, and every senses of knowledge, every senses of action, if that is engaged in Krishna's service, that purification for the senses will happen. So that is why it is mentioned here. Yada samharade. Now, when we are seeing Krishna, our eyes will get that attachment, eyes will get satisfied from that. Let the eyes see Krishna. Let the ears hear about Krishna. In this way, different senses somehow we can activate in spiritual activities, then that will purify the senses. That will purify the senses. So, that's what it is sent here. Yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhyo tasya pratya pratishtida. This verse is very important. It is known as kurma yogam. Kurma yoga means just like a tortoise, how we practice a yoga system. Therefore, it's called Kurma Yogam. So, in Kurma Yogam, what it is done is that, just like the that the tortoise withdraws all its limbs inwards when there is danger, therefore, the yogi also withdraws everything from the world outside. How does that happen? Whenever there is any object of sense gratification comes in front of a yogi, or if it is attracting him or repulsing him, immediately he stops his activities of the senses. Activities of the senses, like the way the tortoise does. That so long as there is attraction. Attraction and repulsion are the two things, isn't it? for the mind. Mind has got only these two things. Agarshanam, Vigarshanam it's called. That is called attraction and repulsion. In the yoga mandalam, in the yoga state, there is another thing called Sankarshanam. Agarshanam and Vigarshanam. That means attraction and repulsion. That's only two things the mind can do. Mind cannot do Sankarshanam. Sankarshanam means to draw something and to destroy it within. That mind cannot do. Mind is only capable of attracting and getting repulsed. Mind cannot destroy something. That doesn't have the capacity. Sankarshanam. Karshanam means to crush something. It is from this that Krishna has got the name as Sankarshanamurti. Vasudeva Pradyumna Aniruddha Sankarshana. Balaram is called Sankarshan, isn't it? So the Sankarshana name came to Krishna in this way, that the mind can do, mind gets attracted, mind gets repelled from something. Attraction and repulsion is the nature of the mind. Krishna's nature is also Sankarshanam. In yoga state, Sankarshanam happens. In yoga state, Sankarshanam happens. Therefore, mind does not know Sankarshanam. Therefore, Krishna is called Sankarshanamurti because of that. So, every time inside us, by meditating on Krishna's form or some way, we have to, this attraction repulsion is turned into attraction towards Krishna's form. So, if this Sankarshanam happens in a person, or this crushing of all these distractions goes away, whenever that comes, how does it happen? That is a question. It's mentioned that sometimes you can see that everything is experienced through the mind, isn't it? For example, suppose I'm talking to someone, and he's talking to me. If my mind is not there, even though I'm standing very close to him, and although he is talking to me, if my mind is not present there, I won't hear anything what he has told me, would I? It will have no effect on me. That's why sometimes what happens is that somebody have told you something, but you didn't give attention to it. Your mind was somewhere else. Later on, he says to you, I mentioned to you before this. He says, oh, you never told me that. This always happens, isn't it? As you get older, it gets more, happens more. But when you are, that's why sometimes you have to repeat it many, many times. Otherwise, you may not have registered inside. Why? Because it's the mind that's actually doing the whole thing, isn't it? Your eyes were there, your ears were there, you were with the person, you accept, but you say you have not told me that before. And then it develops into a fight after that. It's a daily affair. Everywhere it's happening. It's not in one person's house. It's happening in everybody's house. All these things happen. Because this is the way it is. That the attention is, the mind has to do the job. So, if the mind is not present in the transaction, if the mind is not present, all other senses fail. All other senses fail. Without the presence of the mind, the senses cannot function. In other words, that's why we say senses must be controlled with the mind. So if this habit is developed, what will happen is that if you don't allow the mind to wander around, automatically the senses will withdraw. Even if the senses engage in something, you won't know about it. You won't know about it. Sometimes you've seen people, when they're going through a lot of thoughts in their mind, you offer them food, they'll sit there, they'll eat the whole food, and they won't even know what they have eaten. Afterwards, if you ask them, how was that particular dish, what you have tasted, was there enough salt? Oh, well, have you given me that? I didn't know about that. They'll say even that. To such an extent, we are controlled by the mind. This is all daily life for us, isn't it? All the time it happens. So, even while eating, tasting food, what we have eaten, how much quantity we have eaten, all that we are completely unconscious of. Why? Because the mind was busy with something else, some other thoughts. This happens more in the modern world. Why? Because we are all too busy with our life. In the olden times, this wasn't so much because they were not so busy like us. They lived a lot more peacefully in their daily life. But now that every second we have to account for in life, every minute we have to be so like that, it becomes very difficult. That's why this attention becomes very, focused on certain things, and naturally we cannot give enough attention to all the other things. So, from this we can see, in the yogi's case also, this is what's happening actually. Even though when realization happens to him, self-realization happens to him, you look at him, his eyes are open, but he is not seeing anything. Why? Because the mind is gone. That's why how he's controlled the senses. He is looking outside, he's hearing so much noise, but no noise is going inside. So you can see the close relationship with the mind and the senses. If you have managed to get the mind away from the senses, then whatever senses do, it will not be affecting the person. We won't have to worry about the sense gratification. This is a common thing, very easy to understand also, that the connection with the mind and the senses. So that's what they say there, that actually what is working is not the senses. It is the mind that is working through the senses. Isn't it? It's the mind that is working through the senses. So if we have succeeded in keeping this mind inside, through the process of chanting the holy name, satsangam, bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, in that way, if you have learned that process to keep the mind always inside, then the sense gratification will never be a problem. So this is the effort that is required from our side. And if you ask this question, just like how the tortoise pulls its limbs inwards, similarly how to pull the senses inwards. If you ask that question, that you cannot answer that question with logic. You cannot answer that question with logic. Why is that? Because the way all topics related to insight does not work on logic. It is like that. That's all it is. We have to take it that way. That if you ask the question, then okay, tortoise is willing, pulling its limbs inwards. So tell me a process that whenever I come to meet a sense object, I should immediately pull that sense away. There is no answer to that question. So when examples are given, you must also know the limitations of the examples. Kurma yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha. It is the closest example to that. But because it is an activity related to the world inside, this has to happen by our action, by our own effort. That Krishna is saying there, Indriyan Indriyarthebhyo Tasya Prajna Pratishthita. Senses must come out of the sense objects. And that does not mean that senses are not having sense objects anymore. Only thing is, it does not touch the mind. That's where you have to draw the line. And how to do that? Krishna is telling us the process that engage this mind in activities like sadhana, anushtanam, upasana, whatever that is called, which means chanting the holy name and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam regularly, and even staying in the satsangam. If we do that regular basis, what will happen? The mind will not get an opportunity to go and enjoy through the senses. And eventually that break will happen. When that break has happened, then you have realized the truth. You have realized the truth because mind has no chance anymore to go through the senses outwardly, to the outside world. So that's the only way logically it can be explained. It has to be practiced and it has to be experienced in that way. That is Krishna's instruction on this. So everything is not subjected to explanations in that way. Then, and to make us understand a little bit more, Krishna is telling us, in deep sleep it is happening to you, isn't it? In deep sleep, when the mind gets dissolved, all the sensual activity stops there. So where is the problem? Once the mind gets dissolved, it will not absorb anything. It will not get absorbed in anything. That is the reason why Krishna says, like the tortoise is pulling itself. So in order to become self-realized, or in order to become realize the truth, Krishna is saying one should have sense control like the tortoise. Therefore, I mentioned yesterday also, in the temples, when you go right under the dvajastambham, that means the flag post, right underneath that, you see this tortoise kept there. In other words, you are entering into the temple, which is inside us, and it is also the externally, we are entering the temple means actually you are going inwards. That's what it means. Entering the temple means you are supposed to be going inwards. And like the tortoise, be prepared to pull all the senses inwards, not allow the senses to go externally. So that much about the tortoise. Now the same tortoise thing, Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? The incarnation of tortoise, isn't it? Malsyam Kurmam. Kurma incarnation is related to this story only. This is the same thing in the Bhagavatam, but it is spoken through a expanded story like that. Expanded means that through the pastime of churning the milk ocean, this is exactly what Krishna is telling us. It is the yoga sadhana. We know this pastime, isn't it? That churning the milk ocean. It's one of the most interesting pastimes Krishna has performed in the eighth canto, the churning the milk ocean. What is this churning the milk ocean? If you go back into the yoga sadhana, in the yoga system, how they see that churning the milk ocean, the ocean that is referred to is our own mind. And inside the mind there is nectar. The nectar is inside while churning goes on. And this churning or madhanam process, for doing that, there is demigods and demons, isn't it? In that pastime, there is demigods and demons are doing the churning. And these demigods and demons are inside us also, which is known as Deva Sambhati or Asura Sambhati, divine nature or demoniac nature. They are both inside us. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. Devi Vasana and Asuri Vasana, or Devi Sambhat or Asuri Sambhat, or divine nature or demoniac nature. The both things are inside. And the Mandhara mountain, what we refer to, isn't it? Krishna brought the Mandhara mountain, brought there to churn. That Mandhara mountain is our false ego. So this false ego, keeping this false ego, and in the past time you see they have used Vasuki, the snake, as the rope to churn the mountain, isn't it? To churn this Mandhara mountain, they tied Vasuki around that. One side was held by the demigods and other side was held by the demons. And they were pulling the rope on either side and churning started. When the churning started, what happened? The Mandhara mountain went down. So it was then that Krishna took the incarnation of tortoise. Kurmavadaram happened at that time and lifted the Mandhara mountain from the bottom. In the yoga sadhana, how they are presenting this to us is that in the Ashtanga Yogam and in Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, the same thing is explained in a different way. What they are saying to us is that when the yoga sadhana, when we are churning our mind with this, the Deva Vasana and Asurik Vasana, when we are churning that inside, and this with the Mandhara mountain of false ego, the Mandhara mountain will sink. False ego will sink when it starts the churning of the mind. At that time, what will protection? To continue the churning process, we need some support from inside, and that is sense control. That is the sense control. So, every time we are trying to control the mind, at that time what will happen is it escapes. It slips from us, isn't it? Why does it slip? When we try to focus our mind, say for example we sat in meditation and we are trying to control the mind is not staying in one place, isn't it? Mind is moving. Immediately gets disturbed for various little things. The only reason for that is there is no sense control. Senses have lost their control due to the practice. So, therefore, if there is no sense control, we cannot go further. in order to show that is this Kurmavataram is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Kurmavataram mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Actually, the same thing is spoken in Shivananda Lahiri also in a different way. There it says, Amnayam Budhimadarena Sumanas Sangha Sumudyan Manu Mandhanam Dada Bhakti Rajya Sahidam Kritwa Maditwa Tada Somam Kalpadarim Suparvasurabhim Chindamanim Dhimadam Nityananda Sudha Nirandararama Saubhagyamatanvate. Shivananda Lahiri. Amnayam Budhimadarena Sumanas Saspanda Sumudyan Manu. Then, this Amnayam means this, where we churning this process, that while churning is going on, so long as the tortoise is at the bottom, the churning can go on. Otherwise, Mandhara mountain will go down. So, in this situation, Krishna comes to help the devotee or the jnani to, in the form of sense control, Indriya Nigraham. It says Indriya Nigraham. So, how does Krishna come? That is what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. How Krishna comes? He says there, if you look into the 7th chapter, there is a verse there. Jaramarana mokshaya mamashrita yatandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. If you look at that verse, there is a very important statement there. Krishna is saying there, every sadhana what we do in yoga process or bhakti process or jnanam process, mama ashirta yatandiye, completely taking my shelter, you should do the sadhana. If you do sadhana without caring for Krishna, that sadhana won't succeed because you will fail. So it is Krishna who comes in the form of Indriya Nigraham, sense control, and lifts the Mandhara mountain up to continue this process of control of the mind. So in all processes of chanting, or process of chanting the holy name, while studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, while being in satsangam, in all these situations Krishna says, mama ashrita yathantiye, that verse in the 7th chapter, that jaramarana mokshaya, one who wants to free oneself from the old age, death, mama ashrita yathantiye, that he will has to take my shelter all the time. That means all spiritual sadhana, spiritual activities when we are executing, even that has to be executed completely with Krishna's help. Mama ashrita yatantiye. That's an important point. Without Krishna's help, if you do independently, thinking that I can do that and I will get, it will not happen. That's the point Krishna is saying. So therefore you can see bhakti process is essential in jnanam or yogam or any other processes. That without that bhakti, bhakti means dependence, isn't it? Dependence on Krishna. So, jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrita yatandiye. Krishna says, taking my shelter, you should execute the yoga process. Otherwise, there is no point, Krishna is saying. Taking my shelter, if you execute the yoga process, I will be there to help you to control the mind, to control the senses. Mamashrite Brahma Tadvidhu Krishnam Adhyalpam Karma Chakilam. Then you can free yourself from the from this situation. So while churning this ocean, lot of our Durvasana, the bad vasanas inside, will come out from there. While this process is being practiced. What is this process? Process is this, that we are trying to develop this spiritual understanding of life, isn't it? Our spiritual identity we are searching after. In that process, we are trying to come out of the world of senses and the world of the mind. World of the senses and world of the mind. Even when we try to do that, mind and senses will pull us back to it again. That is the nature of the mind and the senses. But it is important, Krishna has said, that eventually we have to take shelter inside of that soul, Krishna, who is present inside, Andaryami, and his help is necessary for us to free ourselves from the mind and the senses. In order to do that, we have all this process of chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, associating with devotees and in the satsangam. All these things are processes to help us to free ourselves from the effect of the mind and the senses and to go towards the soul. So while doing that process, Krishna is saying to us, you have to take my shelter all the time. That's why he says there, Mama Ashrite Yatantiye. If you keep that and do that, it will work. But while this is happening, lot of durvasanas, what is inside, they will start coming out from inside. Because even while executing all these things, durvasanas have not left us inside. Inside us, we have got sadvasana and durvasana, isn't it? Sadvasana means auspicious qualities. Durvasana means inauspicious qualities. They are both inside. While churning, durvasanas will come out first. Durvasanas will come out first. So in order to, who takes this durvasana, that is where the help of the spiritual master is required. In the Bhagavatam, it mentions very specifically that spiritual master plays that role of helping that person. In the Bhagavatam, when the durvasanas came out, who ate that? The durvasana came in the form of poison, isn't it? That poison which is known as the Kalagudam or Halahalam. There's two, three names mentioned there. So that poison, when it came out, Lord Shiva took it and absorbed it and stayed in his throat, and he got the name as Nilakanta. The name Lord Shiva got because it didn't go down further, it stayed inside. So similarly, when we are executing our sadhana, at that time also, a lot of these durvasanas will come out, and that's where the, and that is the, due to the prarabdham inside. And generally, it is to be understood that a spiritual master who is a self-realized soul, he can take it away from us. He can take that. On our behalf, he will accept that. That durvasanas that's coming from inside. It gets a personal acceptance from the, by the realized soul. It won't affect him because he's already a realized soul. If it's, it may come and give him some trouble in his body. To his body, he will have some effect from that. But it will not touch him otherwise, in any other way. So, because he is already very properly situated that I am not this body, and also he is very firm and clear in his realizations that it will not affect him, but it will affect his body to some extent. And all the Mahatmas, if you look at all great, great personalities, if you look in the spiritual field, who have lived in the recent times, if you look into their life, you will see that they all had to go through bodily sufferings in some form or the other, even in their lifetime. And a lot of it is due to the, what they had to take it in this way from the, from their devotees who have disciples or who are executing spiritual sadhana seriously, but when their reactions that is coming out from them in the process of the spiritual practices. So, in the Bhagavatam, when it mentioned, you will see there, elephant came, horse came, and so many other things came from there, isn't it? From the, when you churn the milk ocean, so many things came out. Uchaishravas came, he was the horse. Airavatam came, that was the elephant. And many other things came like that. So all these things is to show that even while practicing yoga system, Aishwarya Siddhis can come. Aishwarya Siddhis can come in different forms. That's what they are all indicating. Normally in our life, for a householder to buy a car, he has to struggle very much, isn't it? To save up the money and to get the money together to buy. But sannyasis don't have to do anything. Somebody gives him a car, says, you can have this car, Maha. He doesn't have to do any of these things. He gets it. What does it mean? That means he is on a spiritual platform, is operating, but if he is offered like that, if he's a realized soul, it's okay. But otherwise, it's trouble. It should not be accepted. For a realized state, he can accept that. It won't harm him because he has gone beyond than this, beyond the state of the body. But otherwise, so all these different vehicles and all kinds of elephant, horses and all is only referring to that. That there's a different transport vehicles. That even including cars are not mentioned there because probably cars didn't exist at that time. So the point is that when the spiritual process goes on, these are different things that can happen. And there's also talks about Lakshmi coming there. there is 8 different forms of Lakshmi. It is called Ashtalakshmi. So this Ashtalakshmi is nothing but Ashta Aishwarya Siddhi. 8 Aishwarya Siddhis. Aishwarya Siddhis means this mystic powers. Mystic powers. The 8 mystic powers that is developing at that time. So when all these things are happening in spiritual life, in yoga process, one should never think that it's happening because of one's own effort. That is what the perfect yogi will do. He will notice all these things happening in his spiritual life, but he will not take the ownership. He will only think that it's only happening due to Krishna's arrangement. And he does not know how it is happening, but that is happening. And that is a symptom of all the realized souls. And our even these different mystic powers do develop in them, they will not take note of it. They will not take note of it. That is where the problem comes. Of course, this is in a little advanced stage while practicing yoga system. That when mystic powers develop, they keep away from them. They will not go after them. That when Mahalakshmi put the garland on Krishna's neck, what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as a part of that is this, that these Aishwarya Siddhis have come to the person who is practicing the yoga process, Amruta Anubhavam. So, this first step, which is the Kurma stage, that is the Kurma Yogam, what we have, the first thing for becoming self-realized or Sashalkaram or Atma, the realization of the soul, is this Kurma Yogam. Kurmanga Niva Sarvasha. Krishna says, Kurmanga Niva Sarvasha. Like the Kurma's Angam. Kurma's different limbs, how it pulls inward. Similarly, all the senses should be withdrawn from the sense object. Otherwise, whoever it may be, he will not make any progress. That is the point. Whoever it may be, he will not make any progress. So, this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, association in satsangam, all these things work together. Not that one follows the other. They all work together at the same time. And that is how the mind gets controlled. For example, sense objects. Sense objects, attraction towards man and woman is a very, very strong thing in this world, isn't it? That is one of the major factors for leaving the yoga path, moving away from the spiritual life. For the man, it is attraction towards women, and women, attraction towards man. So this is also, there's a story about this, that Alexander started his invasions all over the world. He started his army and started marching to other countries. Alexander was a very powerful personality, wasn't it? So Alexander's, you can say mentor, not guru in that sense. You can say like the mentor is the modern word, isn't it? Was Aristotle. So Aristotle says to Alexander, whatever it may be, if you want to keep progressing in your goal of this conquering the world, the main thing you have to be careful about is that you should not get victimized by women at any time. That don't, your attraction for other opposite sex or female should be completely stopped. Because if that happens, you will not be able to go further. The strength will go from inside. Alexander took that very seriously. But after a while, what happened was, he came into contact with somebody, a Dasi, it is mentioned that, and got attracted to her, and eventually he became very much controlled by her. So at that point, once Alexander mentioned to her that my spiritual master or my mentor, Aristotle, has told me that I should be extremely careful in dealing with women. In dealing with women, it can cause difficulties in my goal, in achieving my goal. So she told him, that is true, but even your guru can be affected by that. He is also not going to be free from that. So Aristotle says to her, Alexander says to her, no, my guru is very strong. He is clearly instructed me. Naturally, I can expect that he could be able to manage it. But she says, then you can watch me, she says. So she goes and associates with Aristotle later. And after some time, what did Alexander see? Alexander saw Aristotle was singing and dancing with her after a while. So Alexander goes to Aristotle and says to Aristotle, you have told me that I should not do these things because of that I will fall from my goal, from my success. I will not be able to carry on. Aristotle says to Alexander, in order to show that to you, that even if it's me, I can also fall. That's why I have shown this to you. That was the reply from Aristotle to Alexander. So, indriyan indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pradishtida. Senses and sense objects have a very close relationship. In order to do that, in order not to allow that to happen, the mind should be taken away from that. Indriyan indriyarthebhya. That this attraction inwards will happen through meditation. Meditation does not actually mean sitting in one room, keeping the sitting in the padmasanam and on a proper seat. That is not exactly what Krishna's meditation is talking about. Krishna's meditation is absorbing our thoughts in such a way and utilizing this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and whatever we receive from satsangam and continuous reflection on that and taking our attention away from the body and the world to the soul. That is what Krishna considers as meditation. Krishna's meditation is this shifting from this object to the soul. So, as much as this meditation gets stronger, this kind of meditation, as I mentioned, this meditation is different. In the modern world, you know, all the yoga societies offer meditation. Their meditation is that you come and they give you, you can see this, people go with a yoga mat. They sit there on that yoga mat. And the person who is training the meditation, they all sit with their eyes closed, with their legs cross-legged, and hands all very stable and quiet. For they try how much time they can all sit without any distraction. They sit for hours together and try to practice meditation like that. That is the yoga process, Ashtanga process. But Krishna is saying more effective than that. In 3rd canto, Kapila Maharshi mentions this. In 11th canto, Krishna also talks about this. He says, through satsangam, chanting the holy name, purpose of meditation is also to bring the mind under control. There is no other purpose behind than that. But Krishna says, the easier process is chanting the holy name and become absorbed in that. Number one, as I mentioned before, first to chant loudly, eventually the chanting will become an automatic process inside with the mind. Mind will capture it one day. When the mind takes control, then it will become a habit for the mind to chant. So, hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy name, and hearing and reflecting on these things, what we heard in satsangam from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. If these three things are done, the meditation process is much more easier than sitting cross-legged and closed eyes and trying to meditate forcefully. This can become a habit easily. What we are discussing, it can become a habit easily, provided we give a little attention to that. Little effort is required from our side. Other one requires a lot more effort. Lot more effort. And that meditation often ends up in sleeping. We know that. That many times, they say we have meditated 1 hour and then they come back and they cannot continue. Mind will not bend easily like that. You cannot bend the mind like that. Mind requires a certain kind of handling it, dealing with it. And the way to deal with it, Krishna is saying to us, Bhagavatam is telling us, chant the holy name. Once the mind takes over the chanting process, and then if it is supported with the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam properly, well, and if we get deeply absorbed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Krishna says all your meditation is become so powerful that your whole attention will move away from the body, the world, towards the soul. That will be the most powerful meditation because this becomes a 24-hour business. Even in the sleep, these thoughts of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam will come strongly and that will help. That's the easiest process than the forceful process of the Ashtanga Yoga system. That's the word Krishna wants to make it clear. Indriyani indriyarthebhyo sasya prajna pradishtida. That how to keep be absorbed inside and able to execute the worldly activities outside. That's the point, isn't it? Vyavaharam will carry on, but the inside peace is not lost. The peace inside is becoming more and more peaceful day by day. Why? The connection is broken with the world and the inside what we are. So far, we were busy with the world outside. But now, the whole attention has moved away from the body and the world to the soul inside. And automatically, our activities, our effort to develop this samskaram inside, gets stronger. The result of all that is that the spiritual life becomes the priority in life. Everything else becomes secondary. And therefore, in vyavaharam state, in dealing with the world also, it will not disturb a person. As he mentioned here before, that even though our eyes will be open, our ears will be open, all the senses will be dealing with this world, it will not disturb the peace inside because the mind does not go along with it. The mind actually works through all this. These are all holes only. The eyes are the two holes, the ears are the two holes, mouth is another hole. They're nothing but holes. All through these holes, the mind that is coming out through this, isn't it? So if you have pulled the mind back, these holes can carry on leaving that light open. It doesn't matter. It won't bother. So that what will happen is, somehow or the other, Krishna says here, that dhira, such a person is called dhira. Upanishads, the word used is dhira. And as I mentioned before, that our difficulty is paranjighani vidrana swayambhu. Almal param pashyati andaralman kaschil dhiraha. Remember in Kathopanishad that statement. Kaschil dhiraha pratyag almanam akshan avrta chakshu amrutatvam ichan. Krishna created us in this way. We have got this body, and all the senses are opened outwardly, external looking senses. And then he gets inside and tells us to go look inwards. He created us in this way, and then he gets inside and he's telling us to look inwards towards him. So that's what that word is saying. Paramjighani, this is an Upanishad statement from the Kathopanishad. Vedrana Swayambhu, Swayambhu Brahma has created in that way. Tatma parang pashyati na andaralman. He will see everything outside the senses, but it will not see who is sitting inside. He will not take notice of it. Kaschil dhiraha. But dhira, one who is dhira, who is strong, that way, pratyag almanam akshan. He wants to know him who is inside. Avrutta chakshu. He will stop all the senses going outwards. Amrutatvam ichan. He is desiring that immortality of the soul. He wants to join that immortality, he wants to experience, so he goes inward. So such a person is called dhira. What does dhira means? Dhiratva means that even while our senses are strong, developing the desire inside to execute spiritual life, to experience Krishna, and if that desire gets very strong inside, to train the senses and to start looking inwards and to make all the senses, mind, everything to look inwards and able to make it happen, that is called dhiratvam or the courage. That is courage. Courage is this thing. Dhira, if you say of somebody a dhira, normally it is mentioned that dhira means that one who is very courageous and who is fearless. That kind of thing is dhira. But in Shastram, the word dhira means, if you remember, dehinosmin yadha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tada dehandara praptil dhiras tatrana muhyadi. That dhira word, okay, in English when you translate, I don't know what's mentioned, the sobern or something like that, isn't it? Mentioned there. But dhira word in Upanishads is a lot more than that. Dhira says there is that person who has this strong willpower to realize the truth in this body, in this life, before death comes. Number one. In order to do that, all his senses are very strong at the moment. So with these powerful senses and the powerful mind, which goes externally all the time, he has, because of this strong desire to experience immortality in this life, he has managed to shift the whole senses and the mind inward looking, and succeeded in that process. What, no matter what happens outside, least concerned about that, continuously engaged in this business with the soul, in his realization of the soul, he is called Dhira in Upanishads. Upanishads, he is addressed as Dhira. So, whatever happens, let that happen in this world. That only if you give attention to problems, problems are there. If you don't give attention to the problems, problems don't exist. Problem is only, this is the Vedanta way of looking at things. They are completely different. Normally what we do, when there is problem, we go there to sort it out, isn't it? To sorting out problem is our main thing in this world. But Vedanta philosophy is saying here that Vedanta philosophy is saying here that the least you give attention to the problems, you will reach the goal quicker. Not by sorting out all the problems, you will reach the goal quicker. Because the nature of Maya, the nature of the material world is such that the problems, you can't sort that out. You can't do it. It's not expected of us, and nor it is possible for us to do that. So, the thing is this, that once the senses start inward looking and start acting in the inward direction, they will develop much more power. Much more power. The senses become much more powerful. The only difference is, when the mind goes externally, or our thoughts goes externally, it becomes chittavritti. Isn't it? It becomes chittavritti. Once it goes inwards, it is called a chitta. That's the only difference. Chittavritti is when these thoughts, what is thought waves that is coming through us, through the senses, if it goes outward. How do we know? Because when you sit quietly, and if your mind is always thinking about all everything else in this world, outside world, what's happening, that means the mind has gone outside. The thoughts have taken us outwardly. So once it has gone outside, it is called a chittavritti. But suppose that is stopped, and all the mind and senses, everything has started going inward looking, and be busily absorbed in the soul and the activities of the soul, understanding of the soul, and our identity with the soul. If that realization is developing inside, it becomes chitta, chit shakti. That's what that is. That's all the difference is. It's all purely based on the function. Only on a functional platform you can divide these things. Chittavritti is that one when it goes outwardly and gets absorbed in the world outside. That is chittavritti. That's what's happening. Chittam is that thing. The chit shakti is that one when the same thought process that's going on has completely moved away from the world and the body outside and gone inwards and got absorbed in the soul. It has become chit. Chit shakti. It has become like that. And it's also called as bodham. At that time, it's called as bodham. There are various words like that used in the Shastram, bodham, prajna. These are all words related to that. So, you'll hear one word, prajna shuddhi, purity of prajna. What does that mean? Purity of prajna means that this tendency to go external and to engage in the body and the senses and the sense objects, that has come to minimum. And it got more and more absorbed. So to what degree you have withdrawn from the world outside, that degree you have purified yourself. Prajna Shuddhi has happened to you. And if the Prajna Shuddhi is strong, Krishna is saying, Ekadasha Skandam is much easier to understand, to accept. It's a question of acceptance only. That at the moment the mind is rejecting it. Mind is finding difficult to accept what Krishna is saying. When Krishna is saying, Kim Bhadram Kim Abhadram Va, what is right and wrong in this world, Krishna says. Whereas we are so absorbed in the right and wrong of this world. Everything is dvaidam, Krishna says there, isn't it? Vachodidam anrudam. The words he has used is Krishna, the way Krishna condemns this world, saying this, vachodidam anrudam. The whole thing is so false, he says here. Only from the absolute truth can speak like this. We can't speak like that because we don't have that realization. For us, this is absolute truth, what we are seeing in the world. Isn't it? So, vachodidam anrudam manaso dhyanam evava. Krishna says, don't allow your mind to get absorbed in the thoughts of this world so much. So, here, Krishna's point is that once the direction goes inwards and the attention is inside on the soul and the mind and senses started rejoicing in the thoughts of the soul and spiritual activities related to the soul, automatically chitta shuddhi has happened inside. That's what it means. The purity is developing inside. It is no point carrying on doing things in this world without understanding what we are doing. Constantly we do so many things because somebody has told me, temple president told me this, so I'm doing this. Or temple commander told me that, so I'm doing that. And then patrons told me this, so I'm doing this. And I'm thinking I'm in spiritual life. It doesn't work like that. Spiritual life is within ourselves. We have to make certain clarity. We need that clarity within ourselves, what we are doing, why we are doing this for, what is the process, where is the goal. All these things should be clear to us. Instead of being clear of clarity of any of these things, simply under an organization running here, running there, it's not going to bring anything at the end. It will all be a waste of time at the end. You won't get anywhere in that way. So that's why it says that Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they won't tell us to do such things. They will only tell you what's necessary to be done in spiritual path. And this has to be done individually, to a very large degree, to be individually. Association means association only on the spiritual platform, not on a material platform. But when we get involved in organizations, it goes in another direction completely. We miss the track. So therefore, Krishna says here that according to the activity or bodham, that if the externally, the drishti means our vision, which goes, if it has become inside, it has become yoga sthiti. You are in the yoga state. So when our drishti, which is bahirmukham at the moment, if it becomes antarmukham and starts experiencing that happiness deriving from the soul and spiritual realization, Krishna calls it as yoga sthiti. Where does he say that? He says, Yogastha Kurukarmani, in the second chapter, if you look, 48th verse, Krishna says, Yogastha Kurukarmani, Sangam Tektva Dhananjaya, Siddhya Asidhyo Samo Bhutva, Samatvam Yogamuchyade. Krishna says there, Samatvam Yogamuchyade, Siddhya Asidhyo Samo Bhutva, Samatvam Yogamuchyade. 48th verse, we discussed this before. Then, Krishna says, who is a yogi? Yogastha Kurukarmani, Sangam Tektva Dhananjaya, Siddhya Asidhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yogamuchyade. Krishna calls a person when he has come to this state of Samatvam, that he has gone inwards and established in the self, when he is able to see the rest of the world on an equal level, not disturbed by anything. You can't make it equal. Your vision has to become equal. The world is not going to become equal. When in your own vision, after having withdrawn from the world and gone inwards towards the soul, when you start seeing, after that you come back and look at the world, after realization, then you see in everything Krishna's presence only, nothing else exists, only the soul exists. And that is what Krishna calls it as here, Samatvam Yogamuchyade. That Samatvam, equal vision, has to develop in a person. such a person, Krishna's opinion is that in that yoga sthiti, in that state of yoga system, one should work in this world. So before, otherwise, what will happen is ragam dvesham will come in life. If we work in that way, nothing will disturb us. Thousands of years you can work here in that yoga state. All the realized souls, they operate in that way. Realized souls, they have to operate in that way. They get, because why? Every time a disturbance happens, they go inwards. The shelter is there, inside in the soul. That is where they are operating from. Their center of activity is there, not in the world outside. Outside activities they are executing purely for the benefit of others. But internally, they are peaceful there, within that center. So, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, Arjuna asked, isn't it? That question was Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. This is Sthita Prajnato. This word, these two words, lines, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, Samadhistasya Keshava. Remember this all the time, this word, Sthita Prajnatvam, because we are also asking the same question, how to get there, to Sthita Prajnatvam, isn't it? So, as I said, answer, you won't get it. That you have to experience. Experience is the answer for that. Experience is the answer for that. Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. We have to keep on asking this question. And if we keep on asking this question, and if we keep on doing these things, what Krishna is saying, Krishna says that tasya prajna pratishthita, your prajna will reach that state of realization without any problems. So you can see this, that Bhagavad Gita is a practical thing. It needs to be absorbed in life. It's not something to be studied in a uni or a college or a course or anything and certificate. They are all useless as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned. Bhagavad Gita is effective only when it comes to us. And all the great souls agreed on one thing. Once we have taken this message from Bhagavad Gita seriously and it has become ourselves a part of it, or in other words, Bhagavad Gita is working through us, our consciousness has come the way Bhagavad Gita wants us to, eventually then you don't need the book after that. Purpose is finished because you are already experiencing it, what is spoken in the book. That is the reason why Krishna says there, this is a confidential knowledge. Rajavidya, Rajagukhyam. It's not that it's not available to everyone. It's available to everyone. But only it becomes meaningful if it becomes a part of us, if we have taken it. Otherwise, it's confidential. It never understand it. So therefore, this cannot be, Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood by theoretically, not by courses and seminars and all that. It has to become in us. The message is very clear. Krishna is saying how to get that message. That's what he's saying here. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Holy Name, Satsangam, these are the processes to bring it together. Shifting the attention from outside world, from the body towards the soul. This is all what Sudeva Goswami has done to Parikshit. What else has he done? Only thing is Sudeva Parikshit didn't have to chant, Parikshit didn't have to read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Everything was done in that 7 days time in a package. Because it came from the powerful personality, Sudeva Goswami. He was 100% sure when he started Bhagavatam, when he started talking Bhagavatam to Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami was 100% sure that by seven, he says to him in the beginning, oh, at least you have got 7 days time, that's more than enough. Can you imagine somebody talking like that, such confidence? Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami's confidence was so good that he says to Parikshit, there's nothing to worry, my dear king, you got 7 days time, I'll talk to you the truth. Talk to you about the truth. And he spoke, and at the end, Parikshit confirmed that, Siddhosmi, Anugrihidosmi, I've got it, and I've realized the truth, now what I am, I'm not this body. I've come to that understanding. So, this is the process. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.